2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to preach a lot to the young people tonight. Hope that's all right with y'all. Amen? It's all right with y'all? I got some front rowers down here. I like that. Most churches I go to, the front rows are empty. So usually sit on the front row, I got the whole pew to myself. Amen. Somebody said I'd hate to be in the modern church, I'd hate to be a front pew or the third verse of a song. Because nobody'd ever use me. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to read a few verses of scriptures and just throw a fit. Amen. Preach like a house on fire. Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I want to preach tonight a message that started preaching over the summer. And the ideal is this. What we know and what God showed us, we got to set down to the next generation. Amen. And what's really got to happen is somebody's got to be able to fill the shoes of the people that were before us. And my question is tonight, who's going to fill their shoes? Tonight, we need to raise up, amen, an army that'll just get in. That'll just do something for God. We got a little old gal that used to come to our church. She moved now, but she come in on the bus, and she got saved. And that gal, what she done is she found women that love God, and she just gravitated to them. Man, we got a few ladies in our church that really know the Lord, and she would just gravitate toward them. She seen how they dressed, and she dressed like that. And she seen how they would say amen in church. She started saying amen in church. And man, I'm telling you, if she was here tonight, you could have heard her over the rest of the crowd. I'll never forget her. She, amen. She just, I love that little old gal. Every time I see her, my heart melts. And we need some more like that. Now, there ain't no reason in the world why we couldn't have a whole bunch in here like that. Amen. So who's going to fill their shoes? Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, and God, for loving us, and we were unlovable. And Lord, for guiding us and putting us in the church. And God, I pray this week for this church. Pray for Brother Piet and his family. God, I pray you'll fill him and use him. And God, grant him the desire of his heart, what he's prayed for, and bless his family, his home, and God, all the folks here. He knows, Lord, he's got folks here that he's really praying for, that something happened this week. And God, please move and stir us up. And move us out of the way, Lord, so you can do what you need to do. And God, we'll give you all the praise, honor, and the glory. Thank you for saving that young lady this morning. God, help her to get in. And maybe her daddy needs to get saved, and her mama. And Lord, you could use her to start a revival. And God, help us here tonight. And we'll be sure to thank you and give you all the praise, honor, and the glory. Bless what's done here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me ask you, all the people that love God and the people that know God, who's going to fill their shoes? Traveling around in churches, folks, I'm telling you that the average church I preach in is probably 50 people. I preach in some bigger, some smaller. And there's usually a small little handful of people in there that after I'm there for a week, that I could say and look back and say, man, they know God. Just a small handful. Amen. And tonight, let me ask you this. Let me put it this way. If we passed out pieces of paper in here tonight and we asked you to write down 10 names on that piece of paper that you know in this room sitting right here, the people you go to church with, if I was to ask you to write down 10 names on there that you knew that knew God and loved him and wasn't ashamed of him and had fellowship with God, would your name be on there? Amen. Would anybody put your name on there? Oh, man, that makes for good preaching right there. Amen. I mean, I got a reaction out of that. Amen. With your name, would anybody put your name on there? You say, well, I don't feel like I'm very spiritual. I didn't ask you if you're spiritual. Do you know God? You in fellowship with Him? I know this. You ain't got to be smart to be in fellowship with God. You ain't got to be spiritual to be in fellowship with God. Amen. How about just talking to Him? How about just being honest with Him? Spending some time with Him. Would your name be on there? The folks' names that are on there, I'm telling you, somebody's got to fill their shoes. Somebody's got to come up behind. I was sitting there thinking a minute ago, I was thinking about all the preachers and all the people of God I've been able to rub shoulders with. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Once I start thinking about it, and that's just not just preachers. Man, I've been around some people. I've stayed in some people's homes that know God. I mean, on that spooky level. There was a lady down in Shady Acres Baptist Church, Brother Jack Wood's church. Her name was Mrs. Sides. And if you ever heard Brother Jack preach, he wouldn't preach many messages without mentioning Sister Sides. I've been down there before where I've seen Brother Jack set. He said, all right, everybody that's here tonight that's either gotten saved or got in church and got saved because of Sister Sides, stand up. And out of a church of 300 people, there'd be 75 people stand up. One little old lady, one influence of one little lady, Mrs. Sides. One night somebody broke into her little trailer. She lived in a little trailer house. And somebody broke into her mobile home. And they come in and they seen her in the bed and they picked up something. They're going to bash her brains in and steal everything she had. And she looked up and seen this big old guy standing there. And she looked up and she said, young man, have you ever been saved by the grace of God? They said he dropped the thing he had in his hand and ran out. And she said he stopped in the living room for a few minutes and then ran out the door. And she got up and, you know, wondering what in the world was going on. And she heard the phone ring and she answered the phone and it was that feller. He stopped by the phone and got her phone number on the way out. She answered the phone and this voice says, ma'am, are you okay? She goes, I'm okay, son, but what about you? He's shaking to death. Hey, man, that's just one little old lady. She loved all of us. She loved all of us preacher boys. And man, one little old lady like that, they still talk about her. Who's going to fill her shoes? You think it's going to be some busybody that's most of the time so worried about her own problems that she ain't got, amen, hardly sense enough to get out of the rain? No, it wasn't her. She took a little old radio flyer wagon down in the ghetto of Houston and made a pot of soup and make some cookies, and she'd crochet little old toys and stuff and go down there and get them kids to come to church and witness to them. Hey, who's going to fill her shoes? Little old ladies that we run up against when we're out here in meetings and in churches that, man, you can just see them. I've got some of them, they call me grandson. I've got grandmas all over the country. I got people praying for me. Amen. And them little old ladies, and we got some here, amen, that if they wasn't here, they'd be surely missed. Who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to have the character that they had? Who's going to have the stick-to-itiveness that they got? Why, if some of you, the way you're going, you'll be a mental case by the time you're 50. Woo! Amen. Just problem upon problem upon problem. Hey, fix your problems. Get right with God. Do something for somebody else. Quit worrying about yourself. Amen. Live for God. That's the way them old timers did. I don't know about you. That's what I want to be, an old timer. I don't like newfangled Christianity. You can have it. Amen. We was in Arkansas last week and I needed a haircut. And I waited 3 weeks to get a haircut. There's an old boy there named Barber Dan in Arkansas in the mountains. That he still puts a razor, straight razor, around your ears and on your neck. You know you've had a haircut when they put hot lather on your neck and they shave you. Amen. I don't get a Jerry curl. would you like your hair blow dried? Get away from me! We want a haircut in a barber shop. Amen. You say, well, that's silly. I'll be silly then. Well, Barber Dan, he had back surgery. He wasn't in his place. And assistant pastor, we went to one barber shop. He was closed down. He goes, well, there's a lady up here that cuts hair. And I'm like, oh, no. We pulled up and it was a beauty shop. She goes, Brother Mark, he said, she cuts good hair. You know, man, I need a haircut bad. I mean, bad. I walked in that place and smelled like foo-foo. I looked at him, I said, I'm getting out of here, man. I can't get my haircut in here. Right. Amen. I got out, went to the worst barber they had in town.
Yeah, me too.
I don't care if he, yeah. Amen. Oh, don't even get me started. That's too easy. It's too easy. Amen. But I don't know. Maybe that stuff's silly. I don't want to be a foo-foo. Amen. I want to be a man. Amen. Like my daddy was and my grandpa was and the old preachers that preached the hide off of me. I want to be like them. Well, you just copying a man. Fine, then who you copying? Joel?
Come on now.
Joel who? Osteen? Little prissy boy?
Come on now.
Hey, amen. I want to be one of them old timers. Who's going to fill their shoes? Bible says over there in Zechariah, says your father said, do they live forever? Where are they? They're gone. Those old timers are gone. Somebody's got to fill their shoes. It's up to you. Listen, does old time Christianity, does it die with y'all? You girls sitting here, does it die with you? You're too quiet. You're spooky quiet. Get out of your shell. Amen. Man, get you a, you can't wave or shout, get a hanky and do something. Make yourself do it. Amen. Got ladies in here that say amen and raise their hands. Do like I do. Somebody's got to keep us going. Does it all die when we go off the scene? I preached this up in Chicago, and it was a preacher's meeting all there. And I get in those camp meetings stuff, I usually just preach to the teenagers. You ain't going to change the old heads. You ain't going to change what they do. There's some of y'all in here. There ain't no way. I could preach to you. I was blue in the face. You ain't going to change. It'll roll off you like water off a duck's back. But those kids, you can do something with them. And I was preaching on, you know, would anybody want to fill your shoes? And I started doing this at camp, and the kids, what they'd do is they'd actually go get somebody's shoes. And they'd put them on the altar and pray with those shoes. Lord, help me to fill these shoes. And boy, we got down close to the invitation, and there was a preacher there. And you'll have to forgive me for this kind of stuff, but just crude. He was a jerk. And I watched him getting nervous. We got the invitation. He got up and boom, boy, he was gone. You know why? There wasn't nobody going to want his shoes. How about in here? What if we did that here tonight? Well, I was up in Canada and we had a service. We had an hour and a half invitation with kids praying with people's shoes. Would anybody want to get yours? Would they want to fill your shoes? Man, I think I got the right message tonight. Who's going to fill your shoes? Let me ask number one, who's going to preach their message? I remember Brother Danny Farley. He's pastoring Jack Wood's old church. Now, y'all, I don't know if y'all knew Brother Jack or not, but he was bigger than life in my life. When I was at PBI, he was one of them that first come down and started preaching the blowouts. And Brother Jack was an old man. He's an old cowboy preacher from Houston. He'd get on the altar and pray, and you can see his pistol in the back of his britches there. He wore a gun all the time. He's an old heroin addict that got saved in prison. And man, I'm telling you, when he preached, he made me want a fist fight. He just, man, I'm telling you this, he done something for some of us boys. And man, we charge hell with a squirt gun. He challenged your manhood. Yeah, look at you little Bible students. And man, we just, amen. And man, I'm telling you, he preached all over the country, preached missions conferences and all that, and he stepped down and had his son-in-law take over as pastor. I'll never forget Brother Farley stood up. Brother Jack was sitting right where Jesse's sitting. He was old. He already had hepatitis C from shooting them old needles, heroin and all that stuff, and way back in the 50s. And Brother Danny got up, and he had tears in his eyes, and he don't usually do that. He said, folks, I've been given an impossible task. He said, the task I've been given is I have to fill Brother Jack Wood's shoes. He said, that's impossible. Nobody could fill his shoes. But he looked down and he says, but I've got to.
Yep.
Now, there's some folks sitting here that I don't know y'all all that well, but just being in church with you, I can tell that there's some folks here that it'd probably be impossible to fill their shoes, but somebody has to. If not, it dies with us. Do you want that? Who's going to preach their message? Thank God y'all have a preacher-friendly church. Thank God when preachers come here, they got liberty. It ain't that way everywhere. What about, hey, let me ask you kids something. What if all the ameners wasn't here tonight? Do you hear that every time I say something they like? They go, amen, rah, 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 come on. What if they wasn't here? It was just y'all. You think it'd be easier to preach? Amen. What if some of y'all sitting here that never make a peep in church? What if it's just you? I'm telling you, I could point out the handful in here that's doing the amening. You say, up there in Massachusetts, they got a shout in church. Yeah, they sure do. There's six of them that shout. But that makes a shout in church.
Yeah.
What if you had 26?
Yeah.
What if you had 46?
Hey.
What if you had 106?
Yeah.
Man, what in the world would it be like then? What if you climbed out of your weird little shell and actually... Amen. Don't you have anything to amen about?
Yeah.
I'll give you something.
Yes, sir.
I'll try you out. I'll try you out now and see if you got any guts. I'll give you something to amen about. Jesus Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
He shed his blood that we could be saved.
Amen.
I'm telling you, he loved us and we were unlovable.
Yeah.
He reached down in the muck and mire of this old world and reached down and pulled us out. I'm telling you, thank God he did. Thank God he saved us. Thank God he pulled us out when nobody else would. I'm telling you, thank God he rescued us. Thank God he gave us a Bible. Thank God he put us in church. Some of you still can't say amen. Something wrong. Some of these girls out amen and some of you boys. I'd rather have them in a fist fight than you. Amen. Who's going to preach their message? Preaching nowadays, there's some churches, you know, somebody will talk to me, they'll hear me preach somewhere and say, boy, preacher, we'd like to have it at our church, but man, they couldn't take it. I said, well, what in the world are you doing there? What are you doing there? Find you some place where a preacher loose him and let him go. Who's going to preach their message? Amen. Who's going to preach against sin? Who's going to preach on the judgment of God? Or the love of God? Well, I've been in meetings. We go to camp meetings sometimes. I got into one circle there for a while. I got in, got kicked out. Man, when I was there, though, I loved it. We'd get in a camp meeting, there'd be 800 people there. All the doctors and Dr. Doodle Digger and Dr. Smell Fungus and all these guys, their wives hated me.
Yeah, they would.
And they had just dry cracker juice churches.
Yeah.
They get up to preach and they sound like Charlie Brown's teacher on cartoons.
Wah, 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 wah
Look around, everybody be sleeping, you know. And they get done and somebody would say, what a tremendous message. I'm like, can you give some coffee out or something? Is that the way it's going to go? Well, I sure hope not. I hope y'all keep up the old time way.
Amen.
What about when Brother Piet, amen, goes on to be with the Lord? He's not getting any younger. He's a grandpa now. Amen. Who's going to fill his shoes? One of you young men sitting here? You got any fire in your bones? Amen. Sister Piet sitting here. Any of you girls want to fill her shoes? Some of these ladies here that know God, would you want to be like them? Lead a clean life, clean testimony. Love God. Come this morning, got here, and Brother, your wife, I never seen her get up out of the wheelchair. And she was walking this morning. Good day, amen. Who's going to fill her shoes? Man, I just know her a little bit. She's already one of my heroes. If you had a smidgen of that, girl, just a smidgen of it. Boy, if she was here, if I was a young lady, I'd sure get her shoes. I'd sure crawl in this altar with her little shoes and pray over them. If I was a young lady sitting here and I had a good pastor's wife, I'd go get her shoes. Some of these other ladies sitting here, man alive, who's going to fill their shoes? Is preaching going to stay easy here? Amen. Can we preach against sin this week?
Amen.
Just nail it to the bulkhead.
Yes,
amen. How about getting rid of your cigarettes?
Yeah,
getting rid of your pornography. Your bad attitude. Your bad music. That's a start.
Yeah.
Lay your tongue out here on the altar. We'd have to move the communion table. Just let you start here and just spread it all the way out through there. Amen. What if I mentioned some of these messages? Would you know who it was that preached them? How about Dr. Law and Dr. Grace? How about Payday Someday? How about Death in the Pot? So who was that? That was Dr. Carl Lackey. Preacher Lackey, boy, you talk about a work of art. Brother Lackey's the one who preached our graduation at PBI. We used to go down to White Plains, North Carolina, down to the King James Jubilee. First camp meeting ever went to. Got saved in 1982. Me and my wife went to King James Jubilee in October of 1983. We went down there. I didn't know what a camp meeting was. Me and her took a tent. We stayed in a tent. I remember Alan Ryman waking me up every morning. Hey, fat boy, wake up. Smacking me in the head and stuff. We went down there. I'm telling you, I'd never been involved in anything like that. I'd never seen nothing like that. Man, it got the preachers. They were bigger than life to me. The singing, it's something else. I remember one night they was shouting and running the aisles and people was jumping up on everybody's back. My pastor got up and stood on his head and clapped his feet. I'm telling you, it was bigger. It's bigger than life. And I remember on Friday night of that meeting, we'd there Friday and Saturday and Sunday. It went from Sunday to Sunday. And we all stayed and left after Sunday night service. And Friday night, I remember getting on the altar. And man, God was moving around in there. And I just stayed at the altar. Service ended, I just stayed. I stayed in there in that gym all night long on the altar. He said, man, you spiritual, you don't understand. I was the farthest thing from it. I got on an altar and I said, Lord, I don't have what these folks have, but I want it. Amen. I'm telling you, they'd start shouting. They had liberty to shout and run around. And man, I wanted to do that so bad, I couldn't stand it. Amen. The men would say, amen. Glory to God. I said, man, I want to do that. Don't some of you? And I'm going to tell you something. God started changing my life. Amen. I wanted to be one of them. I wanted to fill their shoes. Old Brother Jack Wood, he died 10 years ago now. Boy, it's hard to believe. I seen on the Lutrix CD where he died. It's been 10 years since he's been gone. Right before he died, I got to hug his neck, tell him I loved him. I come up there to one time. We all went to Germany and had a camp meeting in Germany. And I asked his wife after he had passed, I said, Miss Wyvon, do you think there's any chance I could get something to Brother Jack's, like one of his outlines or something? I like to have a keepsake. She goes, I'll see what I can do, Brother Mark. She come back to church, and we got to Houston, and she handed me a notebook full of his messages. You couldn't give me $10,000 for that. My wife, I was in my room office one day, and I had that open looking at it, and my wife says, what are you doing? I said, I'm in the mind of a genius. He was an outlining genius. People say, let me see that. And I say, see it? See? So I want to hold it. No, you don't get to hold it. Amen. I've had the opportunity to preach a few of those messages in there. And boy, every time I do, I say, oh, Lord, if I don't do this right, Brother Jack will want to whoop me when I get to heaven. Went to Shady Acres a few years ago. Brother Farley walked up to me and said, Brother Mark, said, I got something for you that I knew you'd like. He reached in his jacket and he pulled out one of Brother Jack's old ties, old brown striped tie. I'd seen him wear it many times. He said, here, I know you'd appreciate this. And man, I have to tell you the truth, folks. Sometimes I get home and I'll take that old tie out and put it around my neck. Got a picture of him on my desk. And I say, Lord, give me something that old man had.
Yes, sir.
I want to have his. Give me some of that. Amen. How about you? Say, what do you want it for? Is there some kind of power struggle or something? No, I want to be able to help kids. I want to see little gals like that gal this morning get up and walk the aisle. And had tears about halfway down the middle aisle there. There ain't no high compared to that. Amen. Who's going to preach their message? What if I said the sinner's in the hands of an angry God? What if I said the whole armor of God?
Oh yeah, man. Watch it, man. It's the thrust, man. It's the thrust.
Who was I talking to on the phone? I guess it was Brother Ryman. We was talking last night. Brother Ryman said, that old man ruined us. Amen. This modern Christianity, it won't stick to us.
Amen.
He ruined us. We'll never be the same. We can see through it.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. You want to fill his shoes? I want to fill his shoes. Amen. You said, well, that's a sure big task. You ain't going to be able to do it. Somebody's got to.
Yeah. You're right.
Whose shoes are you going to fill? Somebody in Hollywood? You want to be another Britney Spears? Desperate housewife? One of them other bimbo heads? Amen. Or how about one of these ladies here that know God? I heard old statements that goes like this. You are who you hang around with.
Amen.
Who you hang around with? Who's your friends on the outside? Would they be comfortable here tonight? Would they like me? I tell girls all the time when I get to know, I said, you get a boyfriend, you bring him to church. Bring him to revival. Set him on the front row. We'll try him out. If he can take a week of revival, he might make it. Amen. Who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to preach their message? I'll tell you what, who's going to carry their mantle? The Bible talks about a mantle. Amen. Them old prophets, they'd hand their mantle down. Don't you want one? Want to have the touch of God in your life? You think God puts his hand on certain people and use them? Do you want that hand on your life? Amen. There's some folks in churches we go to, they got, do you know you can get into public schools now? They call them good news clubs. You can go into school. I go to Houston. I got three or four elementary schools I preach in when I'm there during camp meeting. Those little old gals, they go in there, gather up all those little old kids. They're in Houston. Most of them's black. They gather up all them little old kids. Just, man, they just run around like wild Indians. They work. Nobody there to thank them. Nobody to give them no offering. They just go in there because they love them little boys and girls. They'll get them all sitting there on the floor, and I get to preach to them. I was in there not too long ago, and I said, hey, boys and girls, what happens if you don't get saved? One of them little black boys goes, you be a crackhead. Why, he had more sense than his folks did. Amen. You be a crackhead. Amen. But you know them little old gals, they go out in the neighborhoods, get kids. There's folks out of that church that still go, like Sister Sides do. They call them good news clubs on Saturdays. They'll set up a table and put cupcakes and cookies out there, and they'll have a ball, and they'll do some other things. They'll play games, and them kids in the neighborhood, you know, some of them will, you know, come out, what are y'all doing? After a while, you know, they're playing with the rest of them. Then they set them all down. I've preached at those. You could do that. You could do that in Massachusetts. Amen. Who's going to fill their shoes? Are you concerned about souls? These little old kids around here that, man, ain't hardly got a chance, nothing. You talk about a mission field. Some of you fellas sitting here that, man, drugs and everything else just about wiped you out. You got a message to tell young people? Huh? Could you tell them? I asked this morning when I watched preach about at camp. Some of y'all had some answers. Well, man, go get some like you. Somebody's got to reach them.
Yep.
Want to fill somebody's shoes? Amen. Somebody's got to. Would it be you? Have that mantle. Some of them old preachers, people I've been able to be with. He's talking about Brother Estep. Brother Estep's got a strange quality. Strange quality is that he loves young preachers. I remember going there in 1992 just as starting out in evangelism. He come in there and boy, he loved me. That made a difference in my life. Amen. Hey boy, how you doing, boy? And those preachers, I want what they got. Amen. I was in a meeting here not too long ago and had a young preacher get up, and he was spouting off about an old preacher I know, old Brother Don Green. I got him offside, and I said, hey, son, better be careful talking about the old man of God.
Yeah.
He'd say, well, he don't let nobody wear cowboy boots in his pulpit, and nobody can wear wire-rimmed glasses, and you can't do this, you can't do that. I've been there and done all of it. Have you? Preached in his church with these same boots on. Last time I was there, we had four souls saved. Said, you better watch your mouth, boy. I watched that old man come out before the service started. He'd come over to the altar. He'd reach down there and touch the altar and pray for the altar. Oh, God, people be praying down here later. God, draw them down here. Get up and walk over to the organ. See him lay his hands on the organ. Oh, God, may this be used for the glory of God here this morning. He'd get up. He's getting feeble now, and he'd walk over to the piano. I'm telling you get in his presence, it's almost spooky. Why, he's forgotten more about living for God than I'll probably ever know. Want to fill somebody's shoes like that? His little old wife. Man, be around some of those ladies. Amen. That's why you better be careful when you're around the people of God. Better walk gently. Better watch how you treat them in here. Some of these old folks sitting here with gray hair, better be careful. It'd do some of you gals good to sit with them every once in a while in church.
That's right.
Say, sis, could I come over to your house someday? Maybe just spend the afternoon with you? Maybe you can show me how to make cookies.
Yeah, amen.
Maybe you could teach me how to make homemade biscuits. That helped some of you fellas sitting here. Learn how to fry a chicken. Amen. Meals don't come out of a freezer. Then come to Sister Piet. Say, sister, could I spend the day with you? Could you show me how you study your Bible? Could you show me how you pray? Who's going to have their mantle? Who's going to fill their shoes? Amen. Boy, some of them we've been able, Brother Jesse, we've been able to rub shoulders with. Well, I'd be honored to carry their shoes. We got a lady there in West Virginia. Her husband's a deacon there in a little old church, little small church, Sharon Gadsden. That lady, man, she loves us. She loves Jesse. She gets on to me for teasing him. Don't you tease him. She loves all of us. Boy, she's a sweet lady. I was in their little old church. They got about 25 people. One revival, I said, man, y'all don't get no kids. I said, let's take up some money to get a van. So I'll give $300. So let's buy an old van and go pick up young'uns. Put some money in the offering. By the time we finished, we had 10 grand. 25 people. You know who gave most? She did. We took up an offering one Sunday morning in Sunday school for the church. They was meeting in a storefront. I said, what do y'all need to get in? They bought some property. I said, what do y'all need to start breaking ground? They said, we need $26,000. I said, I'll give you the first $500. About 10 minutes later, we had $26,000. Somebody else raised their hand and said, I'll give $5,000. Another one said, I'll give $1,000. There's a little old lady there. She raised her hand. She goes, I'll give $1,000. They ain't hardly got two pennies rubbed together. Her husband says, I'll give $1,000. She looked over at him. She goes, I'll give another $1,000. The time it was over with, pastor was in the back. He was looking and going, I said, I'm picking up money, big money. Wheelbarrow type offering. Shut up. And they're in a brand new building right now. Amen. But them old timers, I don't know. You gals, you teenage gals, is it going to be that way in your life? You boys? You got any of that in you? Who's going to fill their shoes? Jesse, they said, old Brother Hank, boy, just had, I guess, had a heart attack and all that. 80-something years old. Who's going to have their mantle? Who's going to fill their shoes? You got your grandma here? Some of y'all got your grandma here. Got your daddy? Got your little mama? Amen. Sitting here, you got your senses about you? Here in a little bit, I don't know, it might not work here. Maybe it's a youth camp thing, or it has to be a real radical church. But if you go over and get your shoes and put them on this altar and pray in front of them, say, God, these ones right here, I'd like to be able to fill those. Amen. The last one, who's going to have their manners? Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. I told Sister Piet, I said, you're going to get me in trouble if you keep opening the door for yourself. I said, man, I've got to do that. Not my mama would see me, she'd whoop me. Amen. A man's supposed to open the door for a lady.
Amen.
You talk to an adult son, you say, yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. That's called manners. These old folks sitting in here, they learned that. That's why when I'm sitting here looking, most of the old timers sitting in here got a suit tie on. Amen. That's changing nowadays. I like to watch the old fights. I'm a boxing fanatic. I like them old fights. You know, I love to get them old films of Rocky Marciano and Ezra Charles and Jersey Joe Walcott and Sugar Ray Robinson and all them. All those men. You go, you see one of those fights, all those men in the audience are wearing suit and hat. You watch them old Yankees ball games and the old Red Sox games in the 50s. They're all wearing suits at a ball game. Them old timers, they had something, folks. We're missing that today. Who's going to have their manners? Can you love folks like they do? Can you pray for people like they do? Who's going to fill them? Or does it all die when they go? I'm going to preach as long as I got breath. My dad was a fanatic about being on time. He'd rather take a beating than be late. Nowadays, got some preachers, they walk in 15 minutes late. I just cringe. My dad said, you be at work, boy, 30 minutes early in case you have a what? Flat tire. Anybody else ever hear that when they were kids? You go early in case something happens. That way you can still make it to work.
Amen.
Be on time. Do what you're told. When you're sick, go to work anyhow. You do that, 5 years, you'll be in supervision. Guarantee it. Say, why? They had some character. They had some manners. Why, these ladies sitting here, some of these ladies, the cuss word wouldn't come out of their mouth. Would they watch some of the stuff you watch on TV?
Yeah, come on.
I was pulled up Kmart one day and got out, and here come a car up. Boom, man, the windows were shaking in the other cars. And they had this rap music playing that's cussing. I mean, just cussing. Horrible cuss words. It's a Kmart. Man, there's ladies walking around with kids. And they pulled up and had little sunroofs, and they was close to me to you. And I went, hey, turn that off. They looked up at me and said, how dare you? I said, there's ladies out here. Pull it off. How dare them? We're losing that. Amen. Go up there to Canada, they don't know nothing about manners up there. They really don't. You know why? England, they said England, people used to have the best manners in England. You know why?
Yeah, there you go.
Right. It's right here. In America, they said the South used to have the best manners. You know why? It's right here. Considered at the Bible Belt. No Bible, no manners. They could care less. You know what happens to you when you quit reading your Bible? Neglect your Bible. Forget to pray. Forget to pray. Forget to pray. Neglect your Bible. Forget to pray. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrunk. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow.
Yep.
You wonder why in the shape you're at tonight? Let me ask you this. Would your mama go as long as you without reading her Bible? You think Sister Piet would go as long as you've gone without praying? You think some of these old grandmas sitting here that love God, sitting here, you think they'd go as long as you have without ever praising the Lord? Ever having any time alone with Him? Maybe for not doing it, maybe you just lost the taste for it. Maybe it's been that long. Well, I'll tell you, you can get up close to Him tonight. You can use this old-fashioned altar here. Amen. It's 7:30. Well, I've probably preached too long, hadn't I? Tonight, why don't we, I'll do this. It's Sunday night. This is y'all's church. I throw the ball in your court. Rest of the service is totally up to you. If, girls, if you want to sit here and let it go like any other service, you can do it. I could almost take a laser pointer and point to you who's going to come to the altar here in a minute. Because they always do. But it's totally up to you whether or not you want to do that right there. Amen. Father, we love you. Pray you'll bless this service. Bless the invitation here tonight, God. Have your way, Father, I pray. Oh, God, have mercy on these kids. We love them, Lord. They're our life. They're our dreams, our hopes. God, help. Do a work here tonight. I was on the Navajo reservation back in the summer. There's one of them Navajo boys got his pastor's boots, and I clocked him. I clocked him on the clock. He had them boots for 35 minutes. And when he handed them back to his preacher, the tops of them boots were wet with his tears. And that old boy wanted to be like his preacher. Who's going to fill their shoes? Sitting here tonight, some of you gals, you youngins, I'd get close to one of these ladies that know God. You can reach down there. You can get their shoes off of them while they're praying. Say, God, I want to fill these shoes. I want what they got. Amen. Boy, I know some old preachers tonight. I know some I'd like to take their shoes off. Old Brother Jesse, his pastor there in Delaware, if you took him old shoes off, prayed in front of him, God, make me a soul winner. Make me like him. All the things that you've heard, commit thou to faithful men who are others are able to teach others also. Would you come? Would you come? Take your time down here. Some of these grandmas and stuff, it'd be good if you prayed with them. Amen, amen.
I'd never be like that. He said, Lord, would you give me twice as much as what he's got? Who would ever think? It doesn't have to fizzle out, folks. It doesn't have to wind down. It doesn't have to dry up. It can still flourish. It can still grow. God's still seeking to show himself mighty. Still wants to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe you can follow along in the footsteps of those that have gone on before? I believe we can. You just have to want it.
Yeah.
You got to want it more than anything else. Ask him for it. Believe. Believe that you can. Believe that he will. My Christian life, I've always desired to be like some of my heroes. I don't know that I'd ever measure up, but I'd never stop trying. I've never stopped desiring that. And you know why sometimes we feel inadequate? Is because sometimes we're looking at what it has taken some people 10 and 20 and 50 and 75 years to develop in a walk with God. And we're just not willing to pay the cost to have what they have. We want it the easy way. And just about anything that's worth having, it's worth working for, worth being dedicated to. And it can be had, folks. It hasn't been going downhill since the apostles. There may have been fluctuations, but it hasn't been a continuous decline. And we can, every one of us can, turn it in the opposite direction. We can turn it in the opposite direction in our families, in our church, in our community, in this country. We don't have to be like the pessimists. Just say, it's a lost cause. Because in Christ, it's not a lost cause. You can tonight. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Do you ever think about the fact that that had to cross his mind? You think he ever wondered whether or not he could do all things through Christ? And I won't get into whether the writing of the Word of God was strictly inspirational or if it was mechanical. Or you can argue about that all you want. All I know is holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. That's how they did it. But I wonder, as Paul was penning that, I wonder if he thought for a second, should I put, I want to, I should, I hope? I wonder how he thought as he actually wrote, I can't do all things. And I wonder, when he put the period at the end of that, I wonder if he stopped there for a second and just meditated on what he just wrote. And maybe tonight as you've talked to the Lord, maybe you meditated and wondered, could I ever be like so-and-so? I want to tell you tonight, on the authority of God's word, you can. You can. If you want to, you can. And bless God, we ought to help one another to do it.
Yeah. Make it easy.
Some of these young people here tonight, they've been given good examples. They've been given some good examples. But they've got to desire it. You've got to want it. Brother Mark, that was a very good message tonight. Most of the shoes, at least that I've seen in my experiences, if they're still wearable, usually do get passed on to somebody else. Right? I mean, unless they're just totally destroyed. Somebody gets them. They're either brought in here, put on the table downstairs. Somebody takes them. Do you ever wonder about the people that wore those shoes before? Eventually they go out there. Maybe you're wearing shoes tonight. They used to belong to someone else. Nothing wrong with that. But we ought to live up. If the people that wore them were godly, we ought to live up to that anyway. Brother Mark spoke this morning in the Sunday school hour about the preacher, and he's right. He said some things that I probably wouldn't say. And it's an awesome responsibility to be a pastor.
Right.
To think that everybody's looking at you. And even though they'll offer lip service and say, well, we know everybody, you know, everybody's human. But in the recesses of their mind, you expect a lot more out of me. We could dismiss things between each other. Say, well, you know, all flesh is grass. But somehow when it reaches here, all flesh isn't allowed to be grass anymore. Now, I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just simply saying, to me, it is an awesome responsibility. And I recognize it. But you know what? It's an awesome responsibility to be a mother.
Right.
It's an awesome responsibility to be the oldest sibling.
Yeah.
It's an awesome responsibility to be a Sunday school teacher. Any position, if you want to use that term,
yep.
Any role,
Grandpa.
that is going to have people look to you. We've talked about this before, even amongst young people. I remember, who's in the sixth grade? Is there anyone in the sixth grade? Giuliani, you're in the sixth grade. I can remember when I was in the second grade, looking up at the kids that were in the sixth grade and trembling. Not necessarily at the girls, but...
That happened in the sixth grade.
Yeah. You know why? Because they were the big kids.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, oftentimes, and this isn't to minimize Giuliana or anything, but we would look at her and say, well, she's just a young girl. And to some of us who are much older, she is. She's a young girl. But to some of these other girls here, they're looking up at her and saying, wow, boy, I hope I could be like Giuliana. See, it's not just about the preacher. It's not just filling the preacher's shoes. It's fulfilling the duties and obligation of anybody's shoes that is an example to someone else. And those of us that name the name of Christ, we have an awesome responsibility to be a good example.
Amen.
And if you think about it, if everyone would be that example and everyone else would strive to mimic the good example, what we're on our face about here tonight is not an impossible task. It'll be a natural progression. Won't it? Let's do that. Brother Steve Gerard, close us in a word of prayer, please.
Father, and we just pray, Father, that we can all gather here again tomorrow night, Lord God, to just hear see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Invite somebody to come out.